This is sort of like the sound of car sickness. I shouldn't have had all that raw pork. Hi there. What?
I wish I would have gotten Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts are great.
I know. You're right, though. They're
so
really
bad for you. It doesn't matter.
These pretzels are really dry.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. It's obligatory. It's 50373. I know so few Seinfeld references. I got to use the ones I do know.
My favorite one is the salsa one. I say it all the time.
That's my Homer Simpson blanket.
It's it's about salsa. Jerry's having a conversation with someone about how salsa is the number one condiment in America. And somebody goes, why do you think that is, Jerry? He's like, because people like to say salsa. Where's the salsa? What? No salsa?
That is pretty funny. Is salsa,
every time I say salsa, I have to say that.
Is salsa one of those words that has like an actual meaning, though? Like picante? Doesn't picante mean hot? Or is that caliente?
Caliente.
Does picante mean something? It sounds like it ought to actually mean something. Your mom's a Spanish teacher.
Yeah, that's my mom.
But don't you know Spanish? Don't you know anything? Do you know any Spanish at all?
No.
Oh, that's right. You took French or some crap.
No, I took Spanish. I just, it never stuck.
All right.
I never took.
Okay. Anywho, I gotta quit saying that. It's 503. See, but if I keep saying anywho, you watch, Lisa Goddard will be saying it. It's like a 100th monkey kind of a thing. I'll say it, and then Lisa Goddard will say it, and then like Jim Roop will say it.
You are getting a weird obsession with Lisa Goddard.
I'm not getting a weird obsession with Lisa Goddard. The listeners are, and you are getting a weird obsession about Lisa and I. Not that there is a Lisa and I.
I'm kind of weirdly obsessed with the girl that smashed my car. I want to know everything about her, and I want to follow her.
That's not so... That's Sarah Dillon who said that.
I feel like
it's stalking that, yeah.
Did you ever see that episode of Friends when Courtney Cox, like, someone steals her credit card and she finds the woman who does it,
uh-huh,
and she ends up following her around and befriending her and not telling the woman who she is?
The answer to any question about Friends and me having seen it is no.
Okay.
I, in my life, have never seen a complete episode of Friends, and I'm not saying I'm, like, bragging. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just saying it's a chick show. It's a soap opera. And so, as such, I did not watch it. Lara, you know, she's the one. You direct all your Friends and reality TV questions to Lara. By the way, are we a week away from Rockstar Supernova? Is it next Wednesday?
It is.
Next Wednesday. Afterwards, it'll be... let me just say this. Not that I'm given to, like, justifying or defending the things we do here, because, this program is what it is. You like it or lump it. Take it down the road and dump it. I'm only saying this about that. I got a lot of people, and like two, who they're claiming that we're talking about Rockstar Supernova because it is a CBS property, which I didn't even know because I didn't watch last season. No one did. The only person I know who watched last season is actually another CBS employee, though, Susan Reynolds. I didn't watch last season because I don't give a rodent's rump about INXS. Not then, not now.
What's on CBS TV anyway?
I don't know. Hold on. This
is Captain Kangaroo on CBS. Maybe not anymore.
This is an interesting quiz. Do you have the TV tonight in front of you?
I can.
You find the TV tonight.
I do.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to see if I can name a single program that's on CBS tonight.
All right.
All right. Have you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to go with the easy one first. This is like taking the Jeopardy $100 question. On CBS tonight, David Letterman.
Yes.
What day is today? Wednesday?
Yes.
Is there a CSI spinoff of some kind?
There is, yes.
Okay, well, see, that was a blind guess. I didn't even know what network it was on.
But I think there are five or six. You know,
is there a Law and Order
on CBS? Guess something of that genre.
Okay, but it's not Law and Order?
No.
All right, see, I was guessing CSI and Law and Order are always my guesses. Mm-hmm. But you know what it is? Because CSI, that's sort of CSI is sort of the Wayans family of television dramas. You know what I mean? You just turn over a rock, there's one there, you know? So,
CSI Cleveland.
Sarah, do you have any idea what's on CBS television tonight? Other than CSI, which apparently has some sort of spin-off.
No, I remember they hosted Survivor.
Is Survivor on tonight?
No.
I think that's over, though.
I don't know. There you go. There's your corporate synergy. I couldn't name another CBS program put a gun at my kneecaps.
And I used to work on CBS television.
Up until like 2 weeks ago. We're owned by CBS, and I don't know. I suspect David Letterman himself doesn't know. So, the answer is we are not pimping the Rockstar Supernova thing because Storm is, because it's a CBS show. We're pimping it because we're big fans of Storm and have been forever. Storm is, she's part of the Rick Emerson family.
Yeah, no, we're pimping Storm.
We're pimping. I can give a rip about everybody else. The sooner they kick those guys out, the better. Storm has performed at a couple of our listener parties, been on the show forever. I don't list my Storm bona fides. I'm just saying I don't want anybody to think that we do not, that we don't support her fully. It is completely and totally about Storm. I have a rat's ass about the rest of it. Wouldn't be watching if it wasn't for her. Rick, this is from a black man, by the way. I got to preemptively say it because it's about racial relations, and I want to make sure that this is not the voice of the other man. This is the voice of the brother man here. This isn't like cracker take on...
You are
on,
so awkward.
I'm not awkward. Am I awkward? I'm a little awkward. Rick, says the black emailer. There should be a sound effect for that. Please don't call and suggest what it would be. My multiracial child... See, he can weigh in on anything. He's got a multiracial child. Presumably then I'm, an ex-wife of a different culture. He's lucky. He can weigh in on anything. Me, I have to preface everything with, here's an email from a black man. Anyway, moving on. My multiracial child called me last night and asked if I was watching BET. There was an awards ceremony. I asked her, quote, are they thanking God and ending a sentence with, you know what I'm saying? She said they were. I said, thank you. I've already seen that. Signed, I'm reading this now from the page, signed Mike, comma, black guy in Portland. There you go.
I have a picture of Beyonce on my website from last night's awards. It is the weirdest picture I've ever seen.
Many of our favorite pictures are of black people. We've had black people in our homes. So awkward sounding. No, the... that picture of Beyonce is weird, though. Is it from last night's
BET? Yeah, it's from last night.
Okay, I would encourage everybody, by the way, to go to Sarah X Dillon's website, sarahxdillon.com. That's a freaky picture of anybody. It's a freaky picture. But of a celebrity who's known for being hot, it's especially weird because I can't tell whether that is part of her bosom or whether it's a Band-Aid or whether it's...
And then what that light-colored thing is above it. I mean...
Maybe that's a nicotine patch.
It's a picture of Beyonce, and her leftmost bosom has a weird, shiny white area, which I took to be one of what they used to call a flesh-colored Band-Aid, but which is now a light-colored Band-Aid. And then below
like she's
that...
missing a patch of skin.
Yes, that really is true.
It looks like there's a Band-Aid underneath that's kind of like a flap.
The word flap is so unpleasant. The word flap is just so wrong. Oh, God. And then below that, it looks as though a specific part of her bosom, and you know what I'm talking about, the most maternal part of a woman's bosom, it looks as though that is visible. Sarah disputes that, but I claim that it looks visible.
I don't know what you've seen, but that...
Maybe my mother is no roadmap.
I just can't even wrap my mind around what
I've got all kinds of ickiness going on at once. All right.
Okay,
here's an email from Dan from New Zealand. See, we can give another cultural point of view. Dan, a man from New Zealand, it is unknown where Dan's children are from, says, Rick, I am one of those listeners that listens to every second of Rick. I have a radio I take into the bathroom with me so that I do not have to miss a second. Everyone who doesn't listen to every second is a hack, including that Luke from Australia guy who said he has to go to bed after he calls you. What kind of listener is that? Dan from NZ. All right. Rick, I know... Oh, Jesus God. I know what the sound is. Is it... Okay, you're going to get this via email. All right, this is from Kathy. Kathy says, I know what the sound is. I'm just going to assume that she's confident on a scale of 10, knowing what the penalty is. Rick, is it... A salad spinner.
Thank you.
What is a salad spinner?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Some Ronco product?
Yes. You know what a salad spinner is?
No.
It's kind of a cool product, actually. Most of those Ronco products, you laugh, but they're all really usable and cool. It's
like a pocket fisherman, for salads.
Yes. It's a pocket fisherman, but for salad. I want someone to create that device. I don't even know what that would be. I would please now to be creative.
They're all really the same contraption.
Listen now. Seriously. Please, as Don Geronimo might say, please now, you must now create for us schematic diagrams of, quote, the pocket fisherman. But for salads. You just send that to Rick at RickEverson.com.
We'll give
you something shiny. This will now be an anticlimax. The salad spinner is cool. It's a mesh plastic basket that fits inside a larger plastic, like, shell.
Tell me more.
No, no, no. You put in, like, your wet, like, you know, you get salad where it's like the lettuce is all wet and whatever, you know, and it's like if you can't get the water off of it. And so you put it in and you spin it around and it, like, it flings the water away into, like, a little holding thing. You take the lettuce out and the lettuce is servable and dry.
What happens if you're using dry lettuce? Do you still need it?
Well, if you, like, you wash the lettuce.
Why can't you just shake it out by yourself?
Because you can never get all the water out that way, especially if you're using a whole head of lettuce. You can never get all the water.
Soil,
and then the salad is all watery. Oh, do you just buy the bag of pre-prepared?
Of course I do. Yeah.
Of course. Okay. Well, sorry.
So, if there are two of us in this room who buy the bag of pre-prepared dry salad, then how many in the general public would need this pocket
That's
fisherman
true.
For salad?
No, two out of three don't need it.
Okay. All right. 503-733.
Let's talk about your knitting.
2970. I'm just reading these. Let's see. Lisa Goddard. Salad. Lisa Goddard. All right. What would you rather hear? A question about the court this morning or something about the mystery noise?
Oh, gee, let's think.
Mystery noise. Rick.
No.
This is not. I'm going to read this. This is from Todd the Court.
Come on.
But he already had a chance.
The weirdest thing about the mystery noise, one of those door stoppers phenomenon, is that the sound sounds nothing like one of those door stoppers. Rick, also, did you know that the game of life uses a spinner while trouble uses a pop-o-matic bubble? Thought I'd let you know. The more you know, signed Todd the Corpse. Okay. How about this? Rick, dude, this is from our mole on the inside. This is from our man on the inside.
A prison?
No. Well, no. This is a man, he works deep in the bowels of the city. He works deep, he's ensconced deep inside the governmental machinations here in Portland. Rick, what happened in court this morning? Clue us in. All right, so here's what happened. So I've told part of this earlier, but I got up early. We all got up early, Sarah and I. We came here. We met at 8. We went to court at 8:30. Turns out that we were just sitting there because court didn't actually open till 9. So we're sitting there on a bench. And
Met a really nice girl
who I suspect was there for meth possession. You can never really tell. She was real skinny and twitchy, though.
That's a fun game. If you're ever bored and you want to pass the day, go and try and guess what people are being convicted
Seriously.
Of.
Seriously. And we were right 2 out of 3 times, though, mm-hmm. because we're like, domestic violence. Drinking and driving.
Drunk driving.
Yeah.
Drunk driving.
Stabbed a guy.
Drunk
you know?
Driving.
Yeah, we were right most. Just guess meth and you'll be right most of the time. So Sarah and I went there. And of course, you gotta check in. Like, even if you're just a spectator, like, we were just there to watch. And so you gotta check in, though. And so we're at the glass, and the woman says, "What courtroom are you going to?" And we're like, "We're looking for, you know, 5B. She's like, "Okay, and what is your docket number? What's your case?" We said, "Oh, we're not criminals, ma'am. We're just here to watch."
Citizen.
And she arched her eyebrows. She said, "To watch?" And we said, "Well, there's a woman who hit this woman's car, and we're here to watch her in front of the judge." And the woman gave us this look that can only be... I don't even know how to describe the look. The look was a whole lot of like, oh! It was like that moment on every Fox sitcom when they catch Martin in bed with somebody else, and then the audience gives like the woo! You know, that's what the woman was giving us, like, facially. That was her expression. So then we check in. We're sitting on the bench because the courtroom doors are locked. And so... How shall I put this?
I know exactly what you're going to say. Go ahead.
The picture on MySpace, which is the only picture that's all we knew of the woman.
She only has the one MySpace picture.
The one MySpace picture, which I haven't actually ever seen. I've only heard your description of it. But the one MySpace picture of the woman, which we then were told by someone who knew the case, they, it doesn't even look like her anymore. We were told that the MySpace picture no longer even resembled what this woman looked like. And so, really, there is no other way to put this. So, all we knew about the woman from the police description is that she appeared to be a woman of Latin or Hispanic descent. That is all we knew about it. So, and all we had to go on was just this MySpace profile. But again, the guy on the inside was like, "Yeah, that's 30 pounds difference between then and now."
Yeah, totally.
So really, we're just sitting there with really no idea beyond sort of a vague idea of, you know, her cultural background, what she looks like. We just, you know, other than that, we have no idea. So we're sitting there and everybody walks by. We're like, "No, you know, blonde. No, no, wait, possibly. No,
maybe,
could be. No, too old. Well, she's a possibility." And so we just have no idea. It's like as though they said, you know, the car was hit by a, you know, a brown-haired white man. It's like, What are you gonna, you have nothing. Especially if the photo doesn't look anything like the reality. So we're just sitting there and every woman who walks by who even vaguely matches the description, like, giving her the stink eye.
No, but then we, but then when she walked by, finally.
But
realized.
Then a woman walked by and she, at the same moment that Sarah went, McRib is back, you know, like it's her, the woman turned and looked at us and stared just like 2 or 3 seconds too long. And I think noticed that we were in turn looking at her, and it was like this weird standoff, like in the old Western.
Yeah.
And so she just went, and she logged in, and then she came and sat down next to us on the bench, and then we go into the courtroom, and she comes and she sits down on the same bench then, too.
But she didn't make any eye contact or anything. She's had her hair hanging in her face.
She destroyed your car, allegedly. What's she going to do? What is she possibly going to say?
Oh, she's going to say not guilty.
Plead not guilty. So she ends up... So we're just sitting there through, like, endless rounds of Russians who need translators and, like, guys who have missed 8 court... There was some guy, sir, you have missed 8 court dates in a row. Can we trust you to bring... You have the rim shot ready for this?
Yeah.
This is literally one of the exchanges with the judge.
Sir, you have missed, 8 court dates in a row, and the marshals were unable to find any place of permanent residence for you. Do we have your assurance, sir? And he's saying this to the interpreter. Do we have your assurance that you will appear this next court date?
Duh. You know, that's it. There you go. You're never going to see him again. He's going to be in the cargo hold of a ship headed for Iceland.
Yeah.
You're never going to find that guy again. Anyway, so I had to leave, though. I had a meeting, so I had to duck out. And it's like getting to see the opening act and never getting to see the Rolling Stones play. I had to duck out. So they finally called the woman who allegedly destroyed Sarah Dillon's car.
Who was seen running away from the scene of the crime.
Yeah, who was seen running away.
Who sober couldn't run that fast.
Running away with her ne'er-do-well boyfriend, who apparently she wasn't supposed to be seeing anyway. And so what happened? So she got up in front of the court and he said... You're accused of being a general louse.
Well, this one was for her suspended license.
Oh, so she had priors.
Also on the counts of,
and you also destroyed something.
Yeah. I know. I didn't hear anything about hit and run, yeah. But he listed a bunch of letters and numbers.
All right. And so what happened? So she just said...
She said not guilty, which I really am having a hard time understanding.
Uh-huh. And so when is her trial?
Her trial is on July 28th.
Oh, we got to be there.
It's a Friday, and it's at 8 a.m.
Yeah. No, we totally got to go. Yeah. So, all right. So, Friday, July something, and 8 a.m.
The guy from the inside's going to get me all the DA's information today or tomorrow, so that way I can send him all the stuff I found.
Fantastic.
And give him the witnesses.
There you go. But,
info.
But you know, she should have just pled guilty, because we just saw guys today just slap on the wrist for anything. What did you do? Well, I...
She really should have. She messed up.
I fed my next-door neighbor through a mesh screen. You know, it's like, well... Silly man. Don't do it again. 3 weeks and $50 fine. Clean the carpet. That's it, man. She should have just pled out and that would be done today.
She did get a lawyer, though. She got a court appointed.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. If she gets off, can you sue her civilly?
I don't know.
I bet you could. You can sue. Oh, look, if OJ can taken up twice, once criminally, once civilly, why can't you sue her?
I'm
not a guy to say to just use the legal system over and over and over again.
What I'm using is the insurance that I'm getting from my car. It isn't even half of what I paid for.
But that's what I'm saying.
I need money to buy a car.
She ought to be paying a little something.
So we need a slimy lawyer. Do we have any slimy lawyers?
Not that we are.
Publicity.
Not that we would do that, because that would.
That would be.
Not that we would engage in any quid pro quo. That would be a. We would never do that. That would be wrong.
Ever.
Anyway, all I'm saying is it seems likely the way the justice system works this way. She's going to go back, this woman who destroyed Sarah Dillon's car, and the judge is either going to, she's either going to get off or the judge is going to give her nothing. And at that point, your insurance company is shafting you because they're only giving you half. It seems like at that point you ought to be filing a civil suit. And again, I'm the first guy to hate frivolous lawsuits. But in the likely event that she doesn't get taken to task for this, like, she owes you a car, in my opinion.
I think so, too. I didn't do anything wrong. My parked car was parked on the side of the road. She's the one who crossed the lane, smashed into my car, and ran away.
And then ran away.
Should have to do
it. That's
what I'm
saying.
Like the coward she is.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Well, in any event. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, is that Jim Roop?
Yeah, we'll just merge this.
No, and we haven't even done the fake metal lyrics and the...
I wonder if her co-workers know what a coward she is.
She, in the words of the British, though... She scrubs up well, though. She looked very,
very mom-like.
She looked very suburban. Because, I mean, look, let's be honest. Doesn't matter who you are. I don't care where you're from. I've told Sarah this. When you go to court, I mean, if you just have shoes that match, you're going to look better than most of the people there, because it's all like sweatpants and some dude with like 3 weeks worth of beard and he's wearing like a Hams, you know, beer shirt. She looked very suburban. She looked very, you know, like you could see her sitting at the some sort of one of your finer two wallets in restaurants. So, but, I mean, you know, I don't think that fools anyone.
Yeah, but she also has a price to pay.
Still that. All right, 503. Am I comparing Sarah's problem to O.J.? Hold on, let's listen to this. Hold on. Hi, John?
Hey.
Hi, you're on the Rick. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's your beef?
Yeah, I know.
What is your beef?
You're not serious about that comparison because he can, she can, Sarah can sue the gal, but without a judgment, you know, a criminal judgment, she's, the gal's probably judgment-proof. I mean, you know, so
I
what?
Understand.
Collect something for it and... she's not gonna, you're never gonna be able to collect anything.
Well,
from her.
I'm not.
How about if you have her bank account?
That's what I'm saying. Can't they garnish her wages or something?
To somebody
no, not for that.
And again, but please understand, clearly, it should go without saying to anyone with a functioning brainstem, I am not comparing the severity of this crime to the OJ case.
Yeah,
all I'm
I
saying is, all
Maybe
I'm saying is, if the justice system fails you the first time, it seems like you can sue somebody civilly. And
oh,
I
yeah.
mean, I mean.
Can.
I mean, the woman's,
but
woman's
they,
clearly got an.
Do it, you're going
like
to have you're gonna have to have something else beyond it.
And she's got enough,
like a judgment, like a criminal judgment against her.
Yeah. Well, she's got enough money to buy booze, obviously.
I'm sure.
All right.
I'm sure.
All right. Thank
but she doesn't have enough sense to know that George Reeves was still the best Superman.
You know thank you. Way to go out on top, sir. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you, John.
He's going
to
be over 40.
Bye.
All right, there you
gotta
go.
Got to be over 40 to say something like that.
No, that's true.
But
George,
he was the old-fashioned hands on his hips. Superman?
Yeah, no, with the cape rustling behind him.
With a big grin on his face.
Yeah. Well, you don't care for Christopher Reeve, right?
No.
Is it just as Clark Kent, or do you not care for Christopher Reeve as Superman?
You know, if you grew up in the, say, late 60s through probably 1980, you watch, depending on what part of the country you're from, you watch George Reeves on TV every afternoon when you came home from school.
Right.
So nobody really compares to George Reeves if you grew up watching that.
Right. Well, that's like Christopher Reeve to us, like me and Aaron and Jason. It's like to us, in many ways, he's sort of definitive just because, you know, he's the first guy to imprint it, you know? Oh, God. All right. Well, we should, let's see. What should we do here?
No.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show live from the city that never sleeps. A man, a legend,
Is it Roop or Baumgarten?
It's Baumgarten.
Oh.
Oh,
hey.
Sorry. Live from...
No, people go to sleep in L.A. early because if you're doing the movie set, you're going to be there by like 5. So
yeah, the craft services table is going to be picked clean if you're not there early.
This is why I've got to book CNN. I'm totally
cool. And hit that post. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I'm perfectly fine. Thank you.
All right. You sound peppy today.
Well, I'm always happy when I'm on the air with you.
That's what I'm talking about. Let me ask you this, Gary Baumgarten. Do you pass along the fantastic experience you have here on the Rick Emerson Show to your supervisors?
I actually do.
I mean, not that
you want to know the truth. Your show is so atypical of the programs we normally do.
Is most of it just...
I've discussed you several times, always positive.
Is most of it just dreck?
What we do on your show?
No. Most of the other programs, and most of it just...
Oh,
swim.
No, you're not going to get me to say anything badly about our other affiliates. You know, we only have 2,000 other affiliates that we would piss off by saying that. But, no, but yours is really a fun show to do. I really look forward to doing it, because you never know what we're going to say.
All right.
You never know what's going to come out of my mouth. I've given a little bit more latitude on your show than I am on others. So, it's, you know, for me, it's great.
Okay, I can read between those lines. I know what we're saying. Fantastic. Hey, let's talk about the best words in the English language today, which are Star Jones, and the other words are fired and unemployed and no
yeah,
notice
she's
given.
She's out of here. She is out of here.
So
yeah, well, you know, she decided to go public with her disgust about Rosie O'Donnell coming on The View.
Right.
And they decided to pull the plug on her before her contract expired, so she gave the interview to People Magazine and said to People Magazine, well, it feels like I was fired, duh.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because
yeah,
is this,
she was fired.
Is this the thing where she was like, so my last day is going to be next month, and they were like, no, it's now. Now.
Yeah, basically now. Her contract was due to expire anyway, and that's the cover story. You know, her contract expired, and they elected not to renew it, but it was more than that, you know. And when Barbara Walters comes on the air and says, you know, I really wish Star would have come on the show and discussed it like with us like that, you know, then obviously, you know, it's a case where, you know, I mean, it's her show. She's the executive producer.
Sure.
So it's obvious that they were not too well pleased with how she handled it.
And, I mean, so they, Star Jones' spokesperson did confirm yesterday that, quote, she has no new work lined up.
Yeah.
And you got to wonder who at this point would hire Star Jones. She has got to be one of the most disliked celebrities in America. I don't know anyone who likes
her. She's pretty contentious. And, you know, you work with who you work with, you know? I mean, we've all sat in chairs on the air next to people that we don't particularly get along with off the air, but we don't, you know, beat up on them publicly. You know, we might scream and holler at each other after we're off the air, but what comes out of the speaker, we're all professionals.
Well, you know, and it's like, and again, really, unless you're on the Howard Stern show, you just, that's just not something that you can do. It's not the,
right.
You know, and you would think that she, but Star Jones, I mean, and again, I mean, I don't know her. I don't pretend to know her personally, but I think people say that the TV is deceptive and the TV lies. I don't think that's the case. I have said for the longest time, the TV doesn't lie. People saw Bill Clinton, and for the very first moment they saw him, they knew, they called him Slick Willie, and they knew that he was, you know, he was a snake oil salesman, which I think we all, regardless of your political affiliation, we all know he's Weasley. People saw Richard Nixon, and they said, that guy looks like a shady character and a crook. That was true. People saw Star Jones, and they said, that woman looks like a, she looks bitchy. And I think, I don't think the TV can hide that, you know?
Right. It's hard to fool the camera.
It's true. I mean, Britney Spears looks trashy. Star Jones looks prissy and demanding. So, I mean...
I think she's a fairly high-maintenance individual. And, you know, you're talking about somebody who outwore her welcome with somebody like Barbara Walters, you know? Who, you know, I mean, that's stardom right there. That's an icon in her own mind and maybe in the minds of a lot of people around her. So... You know, if the people who handle the others on that show can handle the likes of Barbara Walters, they feel that they can handle the likes of Rosie O'Donnell, but they can't handle the likes of Star Jones Reynolds, that's, you know, not a very positive review of Star Jones.
I am absolutely with you, Mike.
The time we're putting it.
I am absolutely with you. See, we can, even when you lay it in sort of vague terms, I know what you're saying there, Gary. All right, Gary Baumgarten, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir.
Always a pleasure.
All right, you have a great day. There's Gary Baumgarten, senior radio correspondent. Rick, this email says, this is going to sound very, very, very strange, but at the exact moment you said salad spinner, I was actually using my salad spinner. It's very weird, says that email.
He must have dried lettuce.
Well, he does now.
He does now.
All right. Nothing but salad spinner. Listen to this. Salad spinners are freaking great. I've had one for many years. John and Molino. How about this? Rick, tell Tim and Sarah to pound it. Salad spinners are fantastic.
I even
use one of the pre-picked bags, so-called pre-washed salad. Like you, I also have no life. All right.
It takes a little arm power. Just shake it off.
Okay.
What?
Nothing. All right. Okay.
Salad spinner just sounds lazy.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the... Not like buying pre-cut, pre-bagged salad that's already sealed up. Okay.
And it comes with free dressing.
It's much easier for the busy lifestyle.
I know. We're hardworking professionals.
Okay. That hectic tennis-born life. There's just not enough time in the day.
I had to reset the air conditioning settings the other day.
There's all this hedge work to do. All right. Here, let's do this. Scotty, here's what we're going to do.
This sounds difficult.
There's all of these calls about Sarah and about her car. But here's the thing. We got to do these fake heavy metal lyrics. What I was going to do is I was going to say, call now with your, you know, to play, spot the fake heavy metal lyric. And then we would do the city dance. But all these calls are in the way.
Well, maybe the... Well, let's just go through them really quick. I really do need help. I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, Scotty, are these all for on the air? These are all on air calls. These aren't like a lot of like. I'd like to talk to her off the air. I run a small attorney concern. All right. Let's see. Scott, you are on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can we assist you on this fine Wednesday?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey.
Okay.
I have a guest for the sound.
Oh God. All right. How confident in the guest are you?
It's more of a clarifying question than the actual guess here. Mm-hmm. I suspect it has something to do with Sarah's old car.
Thank you.
The answer is no.
No. Thank you.
That was efficient. Mm-hmm. Okay, Scotty, from now on, turn away incoming calls for the next couple minutes, because we're going to have to do, or, Scotty, or incoming calls, start calculating 1 through 5 next. We're going to take the 5th caller for spot the fake heavy metal lyrics. So, as of now, incoming calls, start, you know, counting, and then we'll take the 5th one for spot the fake heavy metal lyrics. Troy, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, I'm a claims examiner. Actually, I just wanted to give you a little clarification on Sarah's right to sue.
Okay.
This gal can totally get off on her criminal charge.
Right.
Because she has to prove, they have to prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
Sarah can totally take her to court, and then it's only a preponderance of the evidence. And basically, from everything I've heard
and
about
that's
her
easier.
Case, yeah, oh, absolutely. It's just like 1% over 50%, then she wins her case.
And there were witnesses, I mean...
Yeah, because I have a witness who can identify her.
Presumably her fingerprints are all over the car, which she abandoned.
Now, here's the rub. When Sarah gets money from her insurance company, she gives over to them her right of subrogation. What that means is that any money she collects from this gal in a judgment or anything like that, she has to pay her insurance company back first.
She has to pay back whatever they gave Sarah?
Whatever they gave Sarah. Anything above that, she gets to keep herself. So it's probably still worth
it. So if the insurance company, for the sake of argument, if the insurance company gave Sarah $1,000 and she wins $2,000, you have to give $1,000 back, but you can keep the other.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So, if you win $5,000, but your insurance company giving you $1,000, you have to give $1,000 back to them and then keep whatever is over that.
Okay.
So you'd have to basically think of it as like a deductible.
Okay.
All right.
But it's a piece of cake to do. It's a small claims action, and she can do it all herself. She doesn't need an attorney, any of that stuff.
And I can milk that for months. Great. Thank you, Troy. I appreciate
no problem.
That.
No
Thank
problem.
You, sir. All right. There you go. Jared, hi. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Yeah, hey.
Hey.
You know, I'm not sure what it is about the Superman role, but what is it about the horrible stuff that happens to people that play that role? What do you think is going to happen to Brandon House?
The Superman curse. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, George Reeves shot himself in the head and
It was the name of that documentary? Is it called Look Up in the Sky?
Yeah.
There's a great documentary out now, and I urge you to buy it. It is not just a big advertisement for the new movie, which I thought it would be. It's like a 2-hour documentary about the 70-year history of Superman. It's narrated by Kevin Spacey. They talk a little bit about the new movie at the end, but it is not an infomercial. It is a full-on, real, honest-to-God documentary. They probably could get it. It's out on DVD now. I encourage you to get it. They talk about the Superman curse. It's pretty fascinating.
Hey, the other thing I wanted to say was that I just worked for this company here for a little while.
Yeah.
It's a tile company, and 4 of the guys that work there are all soldiers that just came back from Iraq.
4?
A wounded soldier is like something that happened to John Kerry. Like, he got a little sliver of shrapnel in his finger. He gets a Purple Heart for that.
Right.
A casualty is somebody that can't work, can't be in the military anymore.
They get taken out. Were these guys National Guard, or were they enlisted?
No, they were. One of them was a heavy machine gunner. They were all sergeants in the same platoon. And when they all came back, and he said no one in his entire company was killed or even really hurt bad except for one guy.
So they all came back in one piece.
And Star Jones, if I never hear her name again, it'll be too soon.
We ought to just draft her instead. Let's start that movement right now. She doesn't have another job. She doesn't have any work lined up. Let's draft Star Jones tomorrow.
That's good TV right there.
It's good everything, my friend. It's good and good for you. All right. Well, you know what? Thank everybody for listening for me. I'm glad they made it home safe, and you spread the word, brother.
Yes, sir.
Thank
Have a good
you.
Day.
All right, there you go. That's Jared. One more, and then we'll do spot the fake metal lyrics. Don, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. How can I help you?
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
I'm rolling, brother. What's up?
This is for Sarah. She's the victim of this whole thing.
Yes.
But she's going to be the one that gets forgotten by everybody.
Oh, we won't let that happen.
The criminal justice system does forget the victims, but fortunately, she's got Tim Riley on her side.
She needs to insert herself into the process as fast as possible. She needs to find the DA's name and go stand on his desk until he is so sick of her that he will do anything she wants just to get her out of
the office. Well, because we were talking about this morning. I said that, you know, you really do see how all of this chaos happens, because they are up to their eyeballs in just scum every day and crime and cases.
So
and, you know, so it's, they just want to
plea bargain this out. Okay, they'll probably knock it down to make her plead guilty to the suspended license and kick the rest out. So Sarah needs to go in there, and part of the plea bargain needs to be that she is given restitution for her car, and that's put in the criminal record, and that is a binding part of the plea, and she has to get paid, because if she goes to small claims, the lady can go bankrupt and not pay her. But if it's part of the plea bargain, they'll set up payments
for her. Fantastic. And she'll get her money.
So I can go and meet with the DA as soon as I find out who it is?
No, you don't meet the DA. You pound on his door and say, hey, don't forget me.
So, like, you are representing me and I want adequate representation.
That's right.
Yeah.
This is what I want, or, you know.
Because you are, I mean, it's the state that is dealing with her, but they are doing it on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Great.
But they don't really care about you because they know the victims usually, well, you're a victim. And they're going to make you just as much of a victim as she made.
Well, because, they've only got so many hours in the day and they get into a rhythm and they just churn it out.
And this is truly nothing.
It is true. And they got bigger fish to fry unless you stay on their back about it. All right.
Yeah, so you got to stay on their back and make sure the part of the judgment is part of the sentence and set up payment plans. And you can't go bankrupt on it.
All right, Don, you are the man. Thank you for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Thank you.
That's good advice.
All right, there you go. That's Don. Yeah, I feel like who's that guy? David Horowitz? Who's that guy that did, like, the consumer?
He's one of them.
We're on your side. One of those guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I was confusing with that other Horowitz guy that's, like, an a-hole.
Adam Horowitz? The guy from Counting Crows?
He's a Beastie Boy.
Oh,
well, maybe he is.
Yes, I always confuse this. I fuse this program with.
He may be helping consumers at this point. We don't know.
What's the lead singer's name of the Counting Crows?
Adam Duritz.
Duritz. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
He may be on your side.
Yes, I always confuse this program with Ad Rock from the Beastie Boys. Okay, let's play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics, and then we'll do the City Desk, and then we'll break. No. How do we all feel about that?
Super. I like it.
Okay. Let's see here. Let me queue up the... Is my computer turned up?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Let me... Okay, I gotta... Let me pick it up here. All right. Hi, hello, Tim?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you, Rick?
I'm rolling along, brother, doing what we do. Are you ready to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics?
Well, I thought this was the mystery sound. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
Okay.
I'm ready.
I was going to say, you son of a bitch. I'll find you. I'll find you, and I'll gut you like a sea bass. Okay. All right. So, hold on. Let me get the late. Now, here's what we're going to do. We got a pair of tickets to the Off Fest show, which is happening at the Roseland this Friday. It is Hatebreed, Norma Jean, a bunch of other bands. It's like 6 hours of metal. It's more metal than really is legally permissible, I think. But what we're going to do is I'm going to give you two sets of lyrics, one fake, one real. Now, here's the twist today. The real, the fake ones were written by Scotty J. They are both about dragons. One of these songs is real. One of these songs is fake. And again, pay no attention to melody or inflection, because I'm just making that up as I go along. The lyrics, however, I'm reading off the paper. One is real. One is fake. I will do them both. Then you got to spot the fake one. And if so, you'll win a pair of tickets to a Hatebreed. Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
All right. Let me just go ahead and read this. All right. Here's the first set of lyrics. Centuries past, fascism's foe contrived. Those who sacrificed, doomsday arrived. Bestowed upon the dragon, your honor I lied. Bestowed on the dragon, in darkness I ride. Bestowed on the dragon, your honor they died. Bestowed on the dragon, in darkness I ride. Bludgeon betrayal, our kingdom dismay. Dark Lord's wrath, and lead us astray. All right, there you go. That's the first song there.
Oh, sounds like something from a Brad Pitt movie.
Very nice.
All right, here's the second song.
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with me?
He's a performer.
He is.
I'm entertaining the people. I'm amusing the people.
He's
here we go.
Thespian.
Here's the second set of lyrics.
A thespian.
Oh.
Thank you. Second set.
I wear a sacred talisman. I make a secret sign. Now welcome me into this wicked wind on the journey of a shaman, a dragon I must ride. The gates of hell are open. Let me in. Wait for me, dragon. We'll meet in the sky. By fire and magic, I am sworn. Hell is calling. We cannot be denied. We fly through the blackness of the storm. We must die to be reborn!
That's an original HBO series.
Jesus God. All right. I know it's tough, but one of those sets of lyrics was real. That's the scary part. One of those sets of lyrics was written by intern Scotty J.
That's tough. I didn't recognize either of them.
Yeah, well, we make it difficult here. So, yeah, those Hatebreed tickets aren't free. You don't want any struggle. You can just go buy them, friend. All right,
This isn't fair. I had all yours pegged when you wrote the lyrics last time.
All right,
I didn't get in.
Would you? Now, let me ask. I will, because I recognize that this one is very difficult because they're all about dragons. You have a choice. You have a choice here. You can either guess or you can defer your guess to Sarah Dillon and she will guess on your behalf.
Oh, no, that's a bad idea.
I'll just go ahead and guess.
All right, sir. Is it the first set or the second set that's fake?
I believe the first set is fake.
Congratulations. That is absolutely true. By the way, those lyrics are by Scotty J, and that song was titled Bludgeoned Betrayal.
For some reason, I recognize Shaman. Even though you said Shaman, I knew what you were talking about.
Yeah, that is a song called Ride the Dragon by Manowar.
You know what? I've actually listened to them every once in a while, so maybe that came in handy.
I got to give props to Scotty for using the phrase Dark Lord's Wrath, which is genius. All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Tim, Scotty's going to get your information, and you got tickets to see Hatebreed, Norma Jean, and like 9 other bands on Friday.
Great, thank you.
All right, hang on, Tim. Don't go anywhere. There you go. Jesus. Lead us astray! That's the, I just live for that moment right there.
I know you do.
I know you do. All right. Sorry, I was a little pajama game there. Little Hernando's Hideaway.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're on a different planet than Tim and I today.
I'm on planet Rick.
We sit here as observers.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the City Desk with Tim Riley. Scotty's all upset. That sucked. I can't believe he spotted them. It really is like flipping a coin, brother. It is Tim Riley.
Myers out the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Dateline Fairbanks, Alaska. A man has been arrested after calling a family that accidentally started a 105,000-acre fire 3 weeks ago and allegedly said, I'll hunt you down like varmints if the fire reached his home.
Like varmints? Mm-hmm. You rack of frats and bunny rabbit? Yeah, okay.
Well, get this. Now he's been arrested on charges of second-degree terrorist threats. And apparently the fire started in a barrel. A homeowner refilled a 60-foot deep hole. He hired laborers to dig in his front yard where he thought his metal detector found buried treasure. Turned out it wasn't.
Okay.
Let's talk to Brandon Routh, the newest Superman, shall we, and see what he's thinking about today.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to turn off the metal. The metal's still rocking in the background. Hold on.
It's good to know that they're as excited about the film as I've been for the last couple of years. We've been making it. It's incredible. It's great to have Superman back, and I'm glad that people are excited that he's
back. I can't say enough about him. He's really, really great. I can't say again how abysmal Kate Bosworth is. She everything in the film is good but her and the kid, of course.
She looks like a little alien, like twig lady.
She's just bland and boring, and she has no personality to speak of. I'm sure she's a fine actress, maybe.
Maybe she'd have been Reese Witherspoon.
She at least is spunky. She's a little perky.
She looks good as a brunette.
Kate Bosworth has no personality in this film. That's the only problem. Lois Lane is without personality.
Maybe she'll be the woman in that Prada movie.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
What is that image on the screen over there?
No.
That's fake.
No, that's real.
No, that's Britney Spears, isn't it?
That's not Britney Spears.
Sarah has a picture of Britney Spears in which Britney Spears has suddenly become... it's not Britney Spears.
Suddenly become what? Pregnant?
No. Sarah has this picture she keeps claiming is Britney Spears, and it's obviously not. This is like yesterday when Scotty brought in a picture...
What is wrong with you?
This is like yesterday when Scotty brought in a picture of... Scotty brought in a picture of a woman who I believe was of Latin descent and was claiming that it was Lisa Goddard. And Lisa Goddard is not a blonde woman. What? All right. So that's not a picture. That was yesterday. Was not a picture of Lisa Goddard. That thing you have today is not a picture of Britney Spears. Here's Tim Riley.
Brandon, are you trying to follow in the footsteps of Christopher Reeve?
I needed to have all the strength and confidence.
Really? It's hard to follow in the footsteps of Christopher Reeve at this point. There really are no footsteps.
Or tire tracks.
I think you just lost Elaine as a listener.
Come on, that's funny.
She, every time someone mentions Christopher Reeve's name, she cries.
Hey, it saddens me. I'm a fanboy, but I'm trying to follow in the tire tracks of Christopher Reeve.
I needed to have all the strength and confidence that I could muster to portray this character. I had great reverence for him and what he did because he was my Superman. So, I made sure I remembered that all the time, but did my best to do the character justice.
Okay. Rick, you're my Superman.
Shut up. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Is it because of the neck tube?
Oh.
Sorry. Go ahead with the news.
I believe Brandon has seen this movie 4 times.
So we're back.
Every time I've seen it, it's been exciting, and I'm finding more and more things from the scenes that I hadn't seen, because, you know, when Lex is on screen, or even when Lois is on screen, stuff I hadn't seen, and so I'm laughing at, you know, my co-stars and their performances.
The movie's really
laughing
funny.
At his co-stars and their performances?
Well, the movie's really funny. No, I should say that, too. Bryan Singer has done a really amazing thing, he has made it a very funny movie. It is, in many ways, it's like a screwball comedy from the 50s. It's a very legitimately funny, funny movie. It's got a lot of laugh-out-loud moments, and it's not tongue-in-cheek. It's not campy, but they do realize that it's like an inherently sort of fantastical world that they're living in. So it is pretty... I will say, here's another thing about the movie. And again, I mean, it's a thumbs up. You should see it. I don't think it's going to make anybody forget.
Wow, the Oregonian ripped it to shreds.
Really?
Only gave it a C+.
It's not going to make anybody forget any of the others. You know what I did find distracting about this film? And again, I'm not going to spoil anything. There'll be no spoilers. I do find it was distracting that they didn't mention in any even offhand way 9/11. And I know that sounds weird, except it's a movie that takes place in Metropolis, which is clearly... New York, because, like, you can see the New York City skyline, which is what they use, including the Empire State Building, I believe. And even if it's not technically the New York City skyline, to my mind, it looked exactly like, I mean, I don't really know, but I kept thinking, there's the New York City skyline, and in your head, you always, now, everybody now notices, is this pre or post 9/11? And it found it really distracting, actually. And I'm not saying they could have found a way to work it into the movie, it probably wouldn't have been appropriate, and we all would have claimed that they were being manipulative, but it did, I was taken out of the movie every time they showed the skyline, because you keep thinking, well, you know, because Superman's around, and then how would that, you know, it is kind of bizarre. I found myself being distracted by that. But
I believe the term 9/11 is now owned by the Republican National Committee.
9/11. Copyright 2007 Republican Party. We should totally make the point that is almost true now.
It is true.
All right, should we break?
We're 2 breaks behind.
Oh, I do want to add one more thing quick for all you older Superman fans. Jack Larson and Noel Neal, who are on the TV show, have bit parts in this. And he's 73 now. She's 85.
Oh, yeah. I think at the end. Mm-hmm. I think you see her at the end, actually. Yep.
And they both do...
the end, when everybody dies.
They both do a special on the video that was released of the first season, which is the best TV season of Superman.
Fantastic. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up next hour. We're going to do another round of Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics, and we've got... we'll talk about the mystery sound and things it is not. You stay there. Back after this is Rick Emerson's show. Don't go anywhere.
You'll go. Good to hear, not a thing to fear. Brother, the brother, not a...